Wow. Good morning. Welcome to Graceport Nazarene. I just want to say thank you, Austin. Amber surprised me. I just want to say first that my wife Amber surprised me because I had no idea that Austin, his parents, Mark and Chris, would be here. And then having them come sing here, I am honored and just thank you so much. For those who are here first time, my name is Roger Holcomb. I'm not one of the regular pastors here, and actually I'm not a pastor yet. I am studying to be a pastor. But before I go with that, I just wanted to say it's also an honor to have my oldest brother, Ordy, and his wife, Letitia, and my cousin, Jerry, and his wife, Cheryl, here. And also my former boss, Delmer, thanks for coming too. I was surprised too, I'm glad. And also I want to shout out to my brother Todd and his wife Diane. They're in Charleston, West Virginia with my mom, listening in. Hi mom, I love you. So I want to go ahead and say a word of prayer right now because I'm a nervous wreck and just hopefully God will calm my spirits. So Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for everything you've done for us. And thank you, Lord, for me. Lord, just be with me right now. Just allow me to be your voice. Lord, I just praise you for everything, common nerves, and just speak through me. And in your name I pray. Amen. So I can't remember what it was, but a few years ago, God has laid upon my heart to go into the ministry. It wasn't like a burning bush or, you know, a voice sound like James Earl Jones. I always thought it'd be cool having, you know, that voice saying, Roger. But of course, it'll be kind of scary if you're driving down the highway, you hear that, and like, nobody around here. So it was mainly just a thought in my head. It's just a random thought. And at first I thought, where'd that come from? And I kind of ignored it. And, but it kept on. The thought just kept on intensifying. And if you know me, I do not like to speak in crowds. Like I said, right now I'm doing this, I'm just nervous, but I don't like speaking in crowds. And just doing this, I definitely out of my comfort zone. Also, another thing is, you know, it's mid-50, I've been out of school almost 40 years. I get an invitation for high school graduation for 40 years. Like, wow. But it still persists. And also another reason is, what if they laughed at me? Well, God probably would think in this, well, you deserve that because all of the years you picked on Pastor John. But it finally, on a Tuesday night Bible study, I submitted. We were between the lessons, and we were told just to pick a Bible verse and talk about it and just say what it means. And I gave my verse, and I said, I feel like God's been laying on my heart to do this, something. And it wasn't a wise man named Louis who said something like this, paraphrase. He said something like, is it something that will glorify God? Is it feeling consistent? And I said, yes. And he said, then this is God telling you to do this. So I finally submitted. I'm still feeling apprehensive. I'm going to start at school and everything, but what's next? You know, I'm kind of curious about that. I mean, one, I don't want to leave this church. Hopefully God would say just you can stay here. I mean, Adam just got married last year to a lovely lady, Brittany. Brittany, I want to say I am so glad you're part of our family. And someday they will have grandkids that we can spoil. So I want to go to that Bible verse that I mentioned earlier. It's one that Amber and I have recited
several times when we had sticky situations. And that verse is found in Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. And it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. So what does that mean? Right now I'm taking a class called Biblical Interpretation, which teaches you how to pick a passage from the Bible and kind of do a detailed analysis of it. And one thing it says to do is to break it down. You look up several translations and definitions and be able to go from there. To make it simpler, I have a Bible phone app. And it says that one of them is an English, called English, Easy English Bible Version. And it says to trust in the Lord completely. Do not think that you understand things well enough for yourself. Whatever you are doing, remember that the Lord is with you. Then he will show you the right way to go. So I break this verse down a little bit further. I Googled the word trust, and it says it's a firm belief in the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of someone or something. So pretty simple. We can rely on a God, right? No. We're not relying on a God. We are relying on the God. And Genesis 1:1, he says, in the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. And in Revelations 22:13, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. So there is no other God. If you don't believe that he exists, look around you. He created this world. Do you trust the air that you breathe? His breath is that air. You can see him in the trees, the mountains, the sky. All of this is his handiwork. So that's the God I am talking about. And yes, we can rely on him. So, although we don't know why things happen in the way we do, we must trust that he will be with you through it all. There are so many verses in the Bible that says God will be with you. For example, Deuteronomy 31:8 says the Lord himself goes before you and he will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. And this is one I love here. It's a little bit wordy, but it's in Matthew 6:25, verse 34. It says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. It's not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will not he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Now, that doesn't mean that things are going to be easy. And I know you will face difficulties. You will still face hardships. But you will experience peace and assurance that this too will pass. If you're thinking that I don't know what I'm saying and that I've never been what you're going through, you're probably right. But there are some, we have been through some difficulties that we worried, and it only made things worse. But once we started trusting him again, we felt peace and assurance that things would get better. See, God has a master plan for everybody. He knows what you are going to be when you're still in your mother's womb. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says that, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." So about 35 years ago, something like that, I just finished college at West Virginia Tech. And I started to work at Armco Steel in Ashland, Kentucky. The job was actually not what I expected. And I felt like I really didn't belong there. Most of the people there were either in their, been there for 10, 20, 30 years. So I felt too young there. But also felt that I was too old for a nearby college town of Huntington, West Virginia. I got to say this for Amber and her sister, Marshall. We are Marshall. So believe it or not, when I first started Armco, and guys who worked at the steel mill want to think this is really funny, I thought I was going to be working in a nice, clean office environment doing bench-type work. Even wear a white lab coat or something like that. So needless to say, I was in for a rude awakening. So, yes, I was lonely, miserable, and depressed. I mean, I was an hour away from home and didn't know anybody there. I did become friends with a married couple who both worked at Armco, and they invited to me their church at Rose Hill Baptist Church in Ashland. And I started attending there, and it was there that the Holy Spirit convicted me to give my life to Christ. I still remember that song, "It's Just As I Am," when I said to God, "Let's go," and I went down the aisle to the altar. So once I accepted Christ as my Savior, things changed drastically. I ended up moving to Huntington, West Virginia, and started attending Highland Baptist Church, where I met this beautiful lady, Amber. And believe it or not, when I first met her, Amber was very shy. I would pass by her and she would just go, "Hi," and just walk on. But now, the year now, I mean, 30 years now, she's not like it. Praise the Lord. But a year after our marriage, Armco announced that it would be shutting down process lines due to internal changes. So we had to make some choices, either stick it out in Huntington or move to 3 hours away to a sister plant. And then after several prayers and believing in Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, we, like the Israelites, we moved to the promised land, Ohio. So I started working Armco in Middletown, and I was able to work on shift with one of the most spiritual influences of my life by a retired Marine, John Robinson. Yes, he was very, I mean, he was just wonderful. And we actually tried to find churches around like we had in Huntington, but couldn't find any. And it wasn't because, if it wasn't for John Louise, just living how they were and their life, and then inviting us to here, we're home here. And just thanks to him. But the reason I told you this about my life is because, 30 plus years ago, God already knew that I was going to accept his calling to go into ministry. And he already set plans in motion for us to do that. See, God utilizes available resources to convey his message. And he will provide guidance through others such as John Robinson and then Don Stahl and Pastor John and many others. And it may take years before that it will be in process. See, one thing, God does not look for the popular, the bravest, or the strongest to do his task. He looks at the person's heart, and then he gives divine promise that he will be with them through the whole ordeal. I'm sure you heard of all by King David. But before he was a king, he was just a shepherd boy. And Israel already had a king. His name was King Saul. And at first, King Saul did what God wanted, but then he decided he wanted to take matters in his own hands and did not follow God's what God wanted to do. So God rejected King Saul. And God sent Samuel, a prophet, on a mission and went to Bethlehem to Jesse the Bethlehemite to anoint one of his sons as king. So Samuel had Jesse to line up all his sons, and he came to the first one. And this first one's probably a man's man. It's kind of like David Roundtree, just a man's man. But the Lord said to Samuel, this is not him. In 1 Samuel 16:7, he says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. Not you, David. But the Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So often, manners of obedience, we discover that God has started to work way before we even said yes. Even when we have agreed to do what God wants, he will not leave us. Instead, he will teach us, and if we allow it, the Holy Spirit will speak through us. All we have to do is follow. So, in conclusion, I'm going to say, let this one verse sink in. It's in Psalms 143:8. It says, let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life. So, if there's anything that, God may be telling you, don't hesitate. Don't hesitate. Because he's going to have his way no matter what. I'm going to get this. I know we don't do it sometimes, but when we have an altar call, and Adam, play that song. This is a song that really caught me, and I went to dial, but please, if you have anything in your heart, if God is trying to tell you something, like I said, and we have the altars open here, just don't hesitate. Come down. I'm going to say a prayer here, and then please, Lord, just be with us right now. Each one of us, Lord, we just touch our hearts, and whatever it is, we just give to you. Thank you again for this day, Lord, and we just We just, in your name we pray. Amen.